from your point of view, what are the therapeutic implications, and what do you do with a patient who has an early relapse?
You know, after I started taking this different approach to the treatment for clinically discordant lymphomas, I don't tend to see early relapses. That's kind of something that I don't see any longer. So, but if I would see one, most likely I would recommend transplant also if the patient is treated with a low-grade lymphoma kind of protocol like bendamustine rituximab, for example, and then has an early relapse. That patient, what I would do is I would give them R-CHOP. And if they have a second relapse, I will immediately take them to transplant. But, you know, now that we're talking about the low-grade lymphomas and the clinical aggressiveness, it's interesting to point out also that there were cases in which transformation was very common years ago, cases of low-grade lymphoma. In fact, most of the cases with low-grade lymphoma that died from lymphoma were cases who had transformed to large cell lymphoma. But it's interesting that since the advent of rituximab, the incidence of transformation has dropped tremendously. That was something that was first pointed out by the group at the University of Iowa. And exactly how rituximab will delay or avoid transformation is something of a mystery to me. But I definitely agree with them. You know, I don't really see transformation as frequently as we used to see it. It's a very uncommon situation nowadays.
That's very interesting. What about transformation in CLL? Also changing or the same?
No, it's about 1% per year. That doesn't appear to have changed. But yeah, that would be kind of difficult to say, you know, why it hasn't changed that much since they are also treated with rituximab, except that the patients with CLL are not as sensitive to rituximab as follicular lymphomas are. Maybe perhaps because they don't express CD20 as strongly as the follicular lymphomas do. So perhaps that might be the reason.